Are you looking to make stable, consistent income every single month on your house hack? Well, in this episode, we are going to talk about all things related to long-term, short-term, and mid-term rentals to help you decide which is the best path for you.
Welcome back to the Happy House Hacking Podcast, the podcast designed to help young people in California on the path towards happy home ownership. Today, we are going to be going through long-term, short-term, and mid-term rentals, and which one is best for you. So, Camille, let's start with long-term rentals. What is a long-term rental?
Well, everyone knows long-term rentals, right? That's classic. It's been around for ever and ever and ever. It's when someone is renting out a property, typically for a year or longer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember in college being in a long-term rental situation. Mm-hmm. It's a classic. That's what you do. And college rentals is a whole niche in its own. But that's where I became a renter my first time was in college.
Yeah, me too. And it was so intimidating going with my roommates, signing our lease for the first time. I think we all needed our parents to sign something too, right, to verify that we would end up paying rent. But anyway, that was also my first renting experience was when I was in college. And I'm grateful for it. It taught me a lot. And it also showed me what I'd like to do differently if I ever became a property manager, which I did.
So what are some of the pros to doing a long-term rental strategy?
Well, the best thing about long-term rental is the convenience. So you are getting a tenant to move into your property for at least a year. You know they're going to be there. You're getting monthly rental income all the time. You can extend their lease after a year if everything goes well. You don't have to deal with turnovers. You don't have to deal with the expense of having cleaners come in every time a tenant moves out. So you definitely have more convenience and more time saving in the long run with a long-term rental. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, some of the benefits I see are just that stability. You know, once you have that year lease agreement, you know exactly what your rental income will be, so you can budget for that property and you can maintain that property well. And another benefit of the long-term rental strategy is it's a benefit to the community, because you're providing housing for someone long-term, and that way they can get established in the community.
Right, exactly. You are opening up doors for people to get established in a certain area. You are providing them with a good roof over their heads instead of giving your house to vacationers who are only here, you know, for 2 or 3 days at a time.
What about cons? Like, what are some of the risks or the downsides of doing a long-term rental?
Well, really the biggest risk, I guess, is if you are in an area with severe rent control, right? State of California already has a rent control where you can't raise rent more than 5% plus inflation every single year. There are some cities within California that have even more strict rent control requirements. So it's important to do your research in the city that you're living in. So with that in mind, you need to be raising rents in order to stay up to market, but that could mean you have a tenant move out if you're raising rent every single year. So that's, you know, one downside. The other downside is if you have a bad situation with a tenant and you need to ask them to leave and you need to go through the eviction process, it's a lot more challenging with someone who's been there for a year or more rather than someone who's there on a short or midterm basis.
Yeah, there's a lot of protections that go into that, and there's some pros and cons to that. So that's the main few risks, I'd say, for the long-term strategy. So
yeah. And then, you know, you look at short-term, right? And on the other hand, you have people coming in just for every couple days. You are getting high rent per month, per night there. You're getting a higher amount than you would if you were renting out on a yearly basis, like a long term. So it's more lucrative to do short term, but then you also have turnovers. Maybe even every night there's a turnover. You have to schedule cleanings, and maybe there's damage that's been done because a party took place at your Airbnb or what have you. But still, there's definitely more inconvenience with short term from what we've seen.
So short term, it's really popular. You hear it a lot right now on social media. If you want to make more money in real estate investing, you have to do short term rentals. You can maximize your your income by, you know, renting it out on a nightly basis. And that depends. It really depends on your market and where you're located. Because if you're in a very attractive area that has a lot of vacationers, then yeah, you're going to do great with short-term rentals. But if it's an area where there's extreme seasonality and you only get vacationers maybe at one point in the year, you have to keep in mind you're going to have a huge vacancy for the other portions of the year. So you kind of have to weigh that out and see, hey, I mean, I'm making a lot of money in the summer months, but the winter is like no one's actually coming out there. So you have to really weigh that out and then see if the income that you get in those summer months can actually help you float your payments and your expenses for that property during those slower months.
It's also important to look at what your city's rules and regulations mm-hmm. are when it comes to short term, because some areas, they don't even have permits available anymore. Mm-hmm. They only had a finite number of short term vacation rental permits available, and they're all sold out. So you need to get on a wait list. So it might be years before you could turn your property into a short term. There's also more tax, right? You have right. the transient occupancy, the TOT tax applied to stays that are fewer than 30 days. So there's definitely more challenges that Airbnb specific type properties are running into. And I know Airbnb themselves, that platform, has had quite a bit of legislation go mm-hmm. against them, and they've worked really hard to fight against it. So I've seen high risk and high reward with short term. Mm-hmm. That's for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. So just look into your local laws and see if your community is friendly towards Airbnbs or not. That can be a challenge just getting it done. They may have taxes. They may even change the laws where they ban it completely. And so if you bought a property with that as your initial investment strategy, and the only way the numbers worked was if you did short-term rental and had a certain occupancy, then that may change your strategy completely.
Yeah, I think about one of our properties that we had that we did short-term on, mm-hmm. and we did it for only a couple months. It was short-lived for us, and mainly out of convenience. It was challenging. If we had hired a property mm-hmm. management company that was designed to facilitate short-term rentals, maybe we would have stuck with it. But for us personally, managing this one short-term vacation rental unit, it just was overwhelming with the amount of cleaning, the turnover, the scheduling, furnishing it. It's expensive to furnish units too. Mm-hmm. You know, that's the other thing to think about when it comes to short-term. You have to furnish that unit, and that adds up. So if you aren't getting enough rental income to outweigh that, it might not be worth it. And mm-hmm. that's what we were seeing. Is for us, it was just too much money on the front end to get it up and running. And we had the issues of turnover and cleanings, and it was just overall for mm-hmm. us, not the right stage.
Definitely. And then there's midterm renting. So this is a strategy that's kind of a hybrid of short-term and long-term. And the reason why it's called midterm is because it's not a year and it's more than 30 days. So it's called a 30-day stay typically. And by having a 30-day stay, you can kind of circumvent some of the restrictions around not allowing short-term rental. So you could have a fully furnished unit in a community that says no short-term rentals, meaning no stays for 30 days or less. And so if you had someone sign a short lease, like 1 to 3 month with you, then you're able to get a higher rental rate because it's a furnished unit and you're able to do so legally and following all the local rules.
Yeah, midterm is really up and coming. It's one of those hybrids that people are getting more awareness about, and they're excited about it. Mm-hmm. And the prime market we're seeing are these traveling medical professionals. Mm-hmm. We also see digital nomads. That's a new title.
It totally is.
Digital nomads, people who work for tech companies that are fully remote. They can go anywhere they want, and they're usually renting places for 3 to 6 months at a time. Mm-hmm. They aren't committed to a certain area. They just want to explore and travel. So they reach out and ask if they can stay at your place for a couple months. Mm-hmm. So it is way more lucrative than short term. You still do have turnovers a couple times a year compared to long term, mm-hmm. but that might be in your best interest because you are getting more money.
Right. you might see a 20 or 30% premium on what your long-term rent might be. And so you do have the chance to earn more, but you have to be prepared to market the property, show the property, and lease the property to a new tenant. And we may go into each of these strategies way more in detail in separate podcast episodes, because we just scraped the surface on what the pros and cons of each of these are. And if you had to say, Camille, which one do you think is the best for us in this life stage, which would you say?
Well, the best for you and me in our life stage of being, you know, young parents, we work full time with our own business. We for sure are long-term rental people. Mm-hmm. We are all about the convenience of not having turnovers. That is the stage of life we are in. Now, I am definitely open to exploring more of the short-term, mid-term strategies if we either freed up more time and could manage those ourselves, or we hired an outside company to do that. So for us in our stage, that's where we're at. We have two midterm units currently, actually, and they've been slow. Mm-hmm. They haven't been the most profitable. It's been fun. It was fun to decorate and furnish those units, but it hasn't been as profitable for us as long-term, mainly because of the time given. We haven't had the ability to give time. Now, I can think of some of our clients who have crushed it with short-term and midterm rentals. They hustle to get those units filled very quickly. They market mm-hmm. it well, and they've done an amazing, amazing job. So there's a strategy for everyone. And that's what mm-hmm. we want you to take home today, is think about where you are at in your life stage. What can you do? Who do you know if you need to hire someone to help mm-hmm. you out with these rentals? The possibilities are really endless, and you can always change your strategy at any time. Mm-hmm. Just think about what's going to be best for you in your life stage.
Definitely. If you have more time and energy, and this is your side hustle, this is the thing that you're committed to, you can maximize your income by doing the short-term or the midterm strategy, and think of it as being an extra job. It's extra time that you have to put in. It's extra energy that you have to put in. And so you can get greater income and keep your costs low, especially if you're doing the cleaning and the turnovers yourself. But keep that in mind. It is extra work. And so where we are in our life journey is we want a little bit more of that passive income that is stable. And so that's why the long term works best for us. So at the end of the day, you have to choose a strategy that works for you. And for us, having the consistency, the stability of that long term rental where it's consistent, we know what's coming in, it's just a lot more. It works for us.
Exactly. Yeah, it definitely works for us right now. And we'll see what happens in the future. We're always open and exploring new ideas. And we'd love to hear from you. What strategies have worked for you? What do you recommend? What are you seeing? And I'm sure there's a strategy out there we haven't heard of yet, but these are the three main ones that people are talking about the most. So thanks for tuning in. We're so happy to be able to share with you. And we're excited to learn more about where you're at in your rental journey.
Please like, subscribe, and if you haven't already left a review, please do that, because that helps the algorithms get this podcast in front of more people like you who want to learn about the house hacking journey. Thanks so much for tuning in.